Into hour number two. Let's crack in. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Live in Southern California. Live in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. We ended hour number one by having a conversation with LA Rams safety Jordan Fuller, who's having a big year. Later on this hour, a wide receiver with Purdue, David Bell. Third hour's wide open. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. As promised, though, we are joined right now by a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. Great story. He had the game-winning TD against Carolina Sunday. Six receptions, 78 yards, and a TD in that game. For the season, 26 receptions, 300 yards, and a couple of TDs. He was the 176th pick overall in 2020 out of Miami. Minnesota is 3-3 on the year. They've got a big one coming up October 31st, so they're in the midst of their bye, but they are going to host Dallas on that night. KJ Osborne is my guest. KJ, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Listen, lots to cover, so let me just get right into it. You had an incredible game-winning TD in overtime on Sunday. Why don't we start there? What was going through your head when you lined up on that play?
I lined up, and I heard the call, obviously, and I just got my pre-snap read. I'm just kind of trying to read my triangle with the corner and the safety and the nickel that was over there. And, you know, I seen that it could end up being one-on-one with the safety, and, you know, I just ran my route. I got open, and Kurt threw an excellent ball, led me in the corner, and just executed. And it was a great play, obviously a great walk-off win, so that felt really good.
Yeah, man, I bet. I love the explanation of that, too, and the execution. So you catch it, you get over the plane, you rip off your helmet, you throw it as a tribute to Stephon Diggs. I mean, when you said you get a great walk-off win, like, can you kind of describe to the layperson, what's it feel like to go on the road and get a win like that in overtime and walk off?
Oh, it feels amazing. It's almost similar to baseball, you know, just like the walk off, you know, just rounding the bases, hard fought win, man. You know, so many ups and downs in that game, going back and forth, and you know, 2-point conversions and field goals, and you know, a bunch of different things happening in that game, you know. So it was a good, you know, team win, but it feels awesome, you know, going into enemy territory. There was a lot of Vikes fans there, which, you know, they traveled well, which is awesome, which is cool to see. But, you know, it felt amazing, you know, to get out of there with the win and, you know, a great way to set up our bye week.
KJ Osborne is joining us. So it's not only that play that you walked off on, but you also had a huge catch on third down earlier in the game. You received the game ball after the game. What did that honor mean to you?
That was huge, man. That was really cool. Obviously, that was my first time, you know, experiencing something like that. So that was really cool to me. That meant a lot to me, you know. You know, just living out my dreams, man. That's what kids dream of, and, you know, making those big time plays. You know, it's definitely a team effort, but you know, that felt really good.
We're talking to KJ Osborne. You hit on something right there that I wanted to ask you about, because you're making plays, but you're making really big plays in really big moments. As an example, your head coach Mike Zimmer said afterwards, quote, "When the game has been on the line, he's produced. I really believe that Kirk has a lot of confidence in him," end of quote. I mean, Mike Zimmer's not throwing that around now, right? That's not what he does. What's it mean then to hear that from your head coach and to know your veteran quarterback has got that kind of confidence in you in big moments like that?
Again, man, that means everything. That's my first time hearing that. So, you know, that made me smile. You know, I appreciate that that confidence and from Kurt and from coach. You know, that was my main thing that I was trying to do is, you know, come in and, you know, earn that confidence and that respect and dependability, you know, from myself, and so I can show that to my teammates, my coaches, to Kurt, you know, and I've been able to come up with those, you know, those big time plays and those moments, you know, time and time again. You know, Kurt drove us down there, you know, game after game after game. You know, I just try to, you know, again, do my job. You know, it makes my job easier. You know, like Kurt throwing great balls, the offensive line is protecting well. You know, I got Justin and Adam out there, you know, getting open as well. So it's been really great, and you know, I appreciate that. And again, I'll just kind of keep stacking days, and you know, continue to develop that trust with Kirk.
I like that. Keep stacking days. Minnesota Viking KJ Osborne joining us. I think, though, even though we're talking about this, I think that I'm not really doing it justice. The point that I have to make, Dalvin Cook said this, quote, I love KJ for a lot of reasons. He just kept his head down. He believes, man. To see him work and take that wide receiver three spot behind two good guys, see, that's a key point that we haven't gotten into. When there are two other great receivers on the roster, it would be easy to think, I might not get my chance. So how have you managed to stay locked in and focused and make sure you take advantage of every chance you do get?
Just exactly what Dalvin said and what you just said yourself. I know I'm playing with two superstar receivers, which is amazing. I can't say enough about Adam Thielen. I'm so blessed to be able to be in a locker room with him and, you know, sharing his knowledge with me. You know, I'm watching him, you know, all day, every day. Obviously Justin Jefferson is a special talent. Me and him have been cool. We trained together for the combine. You know, we end up getting drafted to the same team. You know, going through our rookie year together and going through this year, that's been amazing. You know, just watching those guys, learning from them on the practice field. But you know, we do, you know, the Vikings, we do, you know, three wide receiver sets. So you know, we'll do some two tight end sets. You know, obviously we have a fantastic running back back there, but you know, there's going to be a need of wide receiver three. And you know, I know, you know, if Justin and Adam, you know, aren't open or if they're getting double cover, you know, Kirk got to have somebody else to throw it to. So I know my opportunity is going to come. And again, I just try to execute, go out there and run every route. Like, I'm the number one read, you know, so if it's coming, I'm going to be ready. And I've been ready for my opportunity, and that's what I've been doing these last couple games. And it just happened to be, you know, in these really big-time moments.
KJ Osborne, my guest. Listen, I can't imagine a better attitude for it. However, take me back to last season. I mean, this attitude's even more impressive when you consider, dude, you did not play a single offensive snap last year. What was last year like for you?
It was different. Obviously, you know, I'm coming from the U, you know, a big time school. You know, when you get drafted, you know, obviously you were in a way different position when you're playing in college. So, you know, last year, you know, it was tough. You know, definitely a learning experience. But you know, again, I didn't put my head down. You know, I played some on special teams as a returner. You know, didn't really feel like I, you know, put my best foot forward. You know, didn't display who I truly was. And, you know, so this year, you know, I came back and I just continued to work. Last year, you know, I was on scout team and I worked my butt off. You know, I tried to give those guys a great look, you know, going against our first team corners every week and, you know, practicing as, you know, the opposite team number one receiver. You know, I didn't put my head down. I came to practice and I worked every day, you know, because I knew my opportunity would come. And, you know, when I see it in India, last time we played the Lions and, you know, ever since then, my off season, you know, I've kind of flipped the switch and, you know, ready to take what's mine.
Dude, you get it. You absolutely get it. I was going to ask you about the offseason. I mean, it's one thing that when you're on the scout team last year and you're doing everything you possibly can, you're showing up every single day with the right mindset, the right energy, the right approach. I'm really curious about that offseason, though. How did you approach the offseason and prepare yourself to have the breakout year you're having? What types of things did you do and what kind of a mindset did you have?
My mindset, I was like super focused. I was super focused. I had a lot of goals written down. You know, my mindset was, you know, all right, you know, I'm in the NFL now. Now, you know, get over that and the cloud nine of being in the NFL. Or, like, what you going to do in the NFL? You know, like, you made it now. Like, you know, now what you going to do? Can you stay there? Can you produce? Can you make plays? And I worked my butt off. You know, that's something I've always done. And I got a little bit faster. I've always been a strong guy. So I didn't want to be too strong. So, actually, I knocked off about 5 pounds. To help me move a little bit better. I really focused on, like, my on-field stuff, you know, my techniques and route running and, you know, my football IQ. But my mindset was laser-focused, you know, whether that be my eating, sleeping, you know, playbook, film, you know, extra work, taking care of my body. So we came to OTAs, you know, I was locked in, ready. You know, I knew it would be a lot of competition for the receiver three job. And, you know, I just came and, again, just tried to take advantage of my opportunities. And, again, like I told you before, you know, I just tried to keep stacking days. Whether it's good days, bad days, you know, the next day, you know, forget the previous day and do it again and do it again. You know, just try to create that consistency because that's what the great ones do. So that's what I just try to do, be where my feet are and keep stacking days. That was my mindset.
I love those two things, man, be where your feet are and stack days. I got to ask then, if you have that process and you've got that discipline and you've got that mindset, I mean, how many bad days do you really have? How often do you have a bad day? And what would you consider a bad day?
You know, so it's also a saying that one of my boys say, no bad days.
Right.
So it's like you can have a bad day, like as far as maybe a performance. You know, I hold myself to a higher standard than any coach can or any player. So, you know, if it's maybe not a performance that I want, or you know, it's something that, you know, I didn't go right. You know, I don't really let anything, you know, ruin my whole day. You know, there's so many seconds. You've heard the quote, so many seconds in a day. You can't let 20 seconds or 10 seconds ruin your whole 24 hours. So I can't really say that, you know, I try not to, you know, obviously I am human. I try not to let, you know, some things just ruin my whole day, you know, maybe moments. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm a man of God. You know, I'm blessed, man. I'm living my dream. You know, I'm helping my mother out. You know, my sister and my family are able to come see my games, man. Many millions of kids would be blessed to be in my position and pray for it. So at the end of the day, man, I'm blessed. So I don't really let too much stuff get down on me because, you know, this is what I pray for. You know, again, it's going to be another 24 hours the next day. So that's kind of how I try to keep a positive mindset.
I love it. No bad days. All right, so what about the bye week? Now you've got yourself a bye week. I know you're not going to get too far off the path, but how do you spend the bye week?
Right, I'm going to take care of my body a little bit. I'll relax. I'm actually going to go down to Miami, watch the Canes play. They're honoring the 0-1 team this weekend, so there'll be a lot of the legends there and alumni. It's a great brotherhood, so I'll be able to talk to some of those guys, you know, go watch the Canes play. And then, you know, just kind of relax for a little bit. You know, I can probably get ahead on some film, you know, do some stuff around the house before I take off. But I just relax and, you know, get ready to go. Because after this, you know, we got a tough stretch coming up.
All right, so really quickly, before you go, what about the brotherhood? These are challenging times right now for the program. But what's it mean to you to be a part of that brotherhood, the Kane brotherhood? How do you explain the brotherhood for those who don't know?
It's great. It's great. And I think it's, you know, one, you know, more than any other. You know, you hear people talk about it, but you know, when I was at Miami, you know, how many guys would come back through there, whether that be, you know, Michael Irvin, Santana Moss, you know, Ed Reed comes through there, you know, Ancho Roll, like it's a bunch of guys that come back and, you know, be able to speak to us, you know, reach out to us after games. You know, and it's really cool. It's really cool. And again, they're a brotherhood. They're always reaching out, no matter how big of a name they are. You know, they're not scared to give you your number, tell me to call. You know, Reggie Wayne, I spoke to him a couple times. Tell you to call. You know, reach out to him if you got any questions. I keep thinking of guys, Andre Johnson. Like it's literally, they tell you to reach out, talk to him. You know, it's a real brotherhood. They're not going to big time you or anything like that. You know, I was only there for 1 year. They treated me there like I was there for, you know, my whole 5 year of college.
On both sides of the ball, too, man. Like
yeah,
Edge,
it's really cool.
Edge, Jonathan Vilma. I mean, we can go on,
man,
forever. All these
Vilma,
names.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm literally every one of them. Like, I can reach out to them, talk to them, and it's cool too. You know, you have a big game, and you come back to your phone, and I got a text from Santana Moss. I'm like, what? First of all, how do you get my number? Second of all, like, this is cool. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's awesome. The brotherhood is great. You know, people come down there and connect all the time, and this is cool, so I'm excited for that.
But Warren Sapp, you want to talk about larger than life, man. Sapp was something else, dude.
Definitely.
All right, so I got one last thing for you. What about your dog, Larry, dude? For those who do not know, what kind of a dog is Larry? How's Larry doing?
Larry is doing great. He is right here at my heels right now. I'm walking in circles. So he keeps trying to bite my ankles. this is my guy, man. I have a little English bulldog. He'll be one next month on 11/11. He's been great, and it's actually more than I even, you know, could imagine. You know, last year, obviously, I was up here in Minnesota, and, you know, I didn't know anybody, obviously. It was COVID, so I couldn't leave the house. So, you know, I was up here by myself, and, you know, some of the times we get off early, we're done at 12 o'clock, and I'm just kind of just sitting in my house, you know, in the city where I don't know anybody. We can't really go anywhere. And, you know, now that I have, like, a dog, you know, I didn't really know how much of an impact it kind of had on me, kind of teach me some different responsibilities, but it gave me some company. You know, it's always love. Like, you know, like you were talking about, if I have a good day, if I have a bad day, when I come home, you know, Larry wants to play. He wants to jump on me. He wants to lay on me. So it's been really good. Again, give me some responsibility, but he's been awesome. He's done good.
Yeah, it's unconditional love, man. That's what it's about.
Always.
KJ Osborne, our guest. KJ, great to have you on, man. That was fun. Really good conversation. Appreciate you, and great to have you on. Thanks for doing that.
You as well. Thank you very much for having me.
Nice job, KJ. Really well done. back-to-back guys, young guys who are playing really big and who really get it. Jordan Fuller and KJ Osborne. Still ahead, David Bell. Meantime, in Philly, the bleep is hitting the fan. Like, it's getting worse. As I do these interviews, it's just getting worse. Joel Embiid ripped Ben Simmons. Shams Charania has this tweet, quote, sources, Doc Rivers asked Ben Simmons to join a defensive drill today. Simmons refused. Rivers asked again. Simmons said no again. Rivers then told Simmons he should go home. Simmons dropped the ball and left. I mean, dude, we get it. You don't want to be there. You made that pretty clear. But to show up every day like this and act like this, man, and it's not like you're on the worst team in the league. You're on one of the best teams in the league with one of the best situations in the league. And you're showing up at practice with your phone in your pocket, allegedly. You don't want to be there. You're barely engaged. You won't play defense. The coach is asking you to do things. You're not doing it. I mean, dude, could you be any more unprofessional? A bad deal. Bad act. Bad deal. Bad look. Nothing good about that. And it's getting worse by the minute, honestly. With each successive tweet. We'll get into this as well. 1-800-636-8686. I'll tell you something else, Ben. They've tried to move you. You don't want to be around Philly fan if this is going to be your act. Philly fan ain't having that. I mean, what a dynamic. We're talking about a super hardcore blue-collar town, right? With insane grit. And you got a guy who's showing up to work and just dragging ass and wants nothing to do with any of it and won't do what's being asked of him. How do you think that's going to go with Philly fan? Like, never a good place to do that. But that might be the worst place to do that. A Sixer fan, I know we have listeners in Philadelphia. What do you make of this? What are your thoughts on this? 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, I've got a short segment, then I've got David Bell. All right, so you know that I'm always looking out for you. So why don't we talk about the most creative sports betting app on the market right now, WynnBET. That's right. WynnBET. The luxury hoteliers are now in the digital sports betting space, and they're offering that same five-star service that you're used to from Wynn Resorts, all in the form of a sports book and a casino app. Whether you're playing money lines and props for NFL Week 7 or totals and live betting for college football Week 8, WynnBET has you completely covered. All the biggest events are all right here at WynnBET. And the app is so easy to navigate. They've even added a nice, sweet search bar for you. And it gets better. WynnBET is now fully integrated with Wynn Rewards. It's the finest loyalty program in the industry. See their site for all the details. Whether playing from your phone or your computer, you've absolutely got to sign up for WynnBET Stat. Bet with the very best. Get into the game. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so you know the saying, you miss a little, you miss a lot. I do a couple of interviews, and this Ben Simmons thing just explodes. And all in a really bad way. All right, so in case you missed this, welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So he gets kicked out of practice, reportedly, by Doc Rivers because Doc asked him to participate in a defensive drill, and he said, nah, I'm good. And then Ben said, or Doc said, no, really, we need you to do this. And Ben probably said something to the effect of, no, I'm still good. And Doc said, why don't you go home? He said, yeah, it's a good idea. So he did. And then they suspended him for the opener. and it's gone from bad to worse. Just a bad, bad deal. So now, some of you have tried to have his back and say, no, what's going on here is he's running that James Harden playbook. It worked for Harden, and that's exactly what he's doing. Yet, not exactly. Not exactly. Different types of situations, for one. Different types of players as well. Look, I understand this guy wants out. I'm not totally clear why he wants out. He's upset about a few things. Maybe it's because his name came up in trade rumors initially, and he felt like the team did not have his back, and he couldn't see through that. Never mind that this is part of the business. Like, lots of guys have their names come up in trade rumors, and you never want that. But the trades don't always go down. And then you got to find a way to be a professional and come back to work. Maybe he never got over that. Maybe he didn't like the fact that Doc Rivers responded the way he did when he passed on that wide open dunk in a playoff game. Maybe he was not able to get over that. Maybe he got so far into his own head, he can't get out. Fact of the matter is, he does want out. I'm not exactly sure why he wants out, but he wants out. And they did not move him. And he doesn't want to be there. And I get that. It's not ideal. But man, be a pro. Handle your business. Be a pro. I mean, the thing is, I mean, you separate all of this really unprofessional behavior. And some of this is some high school bullcrap at this point. We are talking about an elite player. All right? He has deficiencies, to be sure. And he's got to be in the right situation. And maybe this is not the right situation. But in the right situation, this guy can still be an elite player. But he couldn't be handling this any worse than he is right now. And now everybody around him is really fed up, including the big fella, Joel, who's got no time for this at all.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job. That's those guys' jobs. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, play hard every night, try to lead, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, our chemistry has been excellent. Despite, everything that's been happening in the last few months. I don't really care.
What he said was, quote, I don't care about that man. I really don't care about that man. Joel, I really don't care about that man.
At this point, I don't care about that man.
At this point, I don't care about that man. I mean, I didn't think it could possibly get any worse than passing up a dunk in Game 7. Like, I don't think that I'd ever see anything that bad. Literally, passing up a wide-open dunk in Game 7. This is actually worse, maybe. This might be worse than that. And I thought that was about the worst thing that I had seen. And already, it's completely come off the rails. I mean, there's the whole James Harden / Larden thing. This is next level. And again, what are you trying to leave? One of the best situations in the league, right? One of the best teams in the league. A team with championship aspirations. I mean, I can see where, quote, Larden had his concerns about Houston and the direction they were going in. But look at Simmons. Look at Philadelphia. So he's just basically shut it down. He's in operation shutdown right now. And he gets sent home, and he's already suspended and could not be handling this any worse. So again, you might ask yourself, who the hell would want that guy? Oh, I'm here to tell you, lots of teams still. In the right situation, he can still be an effective player. And maybe they couldn't get what they wanted for him in a trade, but other teams would still take him. But this is really bad in Philly. And not that this would be good anywhere, but it's going to be really bad in that town. My man, you are not handling this well. 1-800-636-8686. Let me check some reaction quickly. Hey, Rome, I heard you interview Jordan Fuller and KJ Osborne. What's the deal with these young athletes who are of such high character and integrity and are so respectful? Maybe you should mix it up and interview people like me. Regards, Ben Simmons. Romy, Ben Simmons is handling his situation very maturely. Regards, Clone Poop Submissions. Listen, Ben is really deep into his own head. Ben is really unhappy. Dude, you're pro, man. You got to be a pro. Go to work. We get it. You don't want to be there. You can tell them every single day, I'm not happy. I don't want to be here. You should move me out. But in the meantime, you're still there. They're still paying you. You're still under contract. You still have a job to do. You still have teammates. They're still trying to win a championship. They try to embrace you. They try to bring you back. We get it. You hate it there. You don't trust them. You don't want to be there. But you're still there. Man, go to work. Dear Jim, I thought Ben Simmons was trying really hard at practice. Signed, Logan lifting weights for baseball. Huh? What does that even mean, Casey?
Logan,
the thing about Logs, Logs does not try hard at everything, but he does try hard at that. I'll give him that. And he's trying harder at other things. I see you, kid. He's trying a little harder. He does hit the weights pretty hard, though. Yo, Ben, you're playing this all wrong, dude. Just hide out of state like I did. Worked for me. Signed, Kawhi Leonard. Steven San Antonio. They still have not forgiven Kawhi. Hey, Rome. What's wrong with ignoring my boss and telling him no as much as I want? I do it every day. Who do you think you are? I am.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Signed, Ritt. This gal's handle is at Romy's My Homie. Hey, Jimmers, I don't see anything wrong with what Ben Simmons did. Signed, CJ in the Bay. We're retiring at halftime. And Alex August the 3rd, dear Jim, we're talking about practice, not the game.
We're talking about
it's practice.
Not a game. Not the game that I
die for
and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
What are we talking about? Practice.
I mean, how silly is that?
I mean, I know. I'm supposed to. I'm just not going to.
Not the game.
The only thing missing from that rant, and it was the perfect rant, was, you know who the hell I am? AI, man.
You know who talking the hell
about,
I am?
Talking about practice.
Practice.
How silly is that, man?
I mean, how silly is that?
And I'm not saying it doesn't matter.
Not a game.
I'm just not doing it.
Not the game.
The game, man. The game that I die for.
Practice.
Al Harrington is my current guest that I have my Jim Rohn podcast, and he was talking about his cannabis business. And the guy that he wanted to be in business with and develop a strain for was AI. And I got into it. I said, why? Why was he the guy? He's like, because he's the guy. Because he transcended the game. Because he meant so much to all of us and meant so much to the community. That's not Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is really, really talented. Ben Simmons is really gifted. Ben Simmons can be the guy or one of the guys in the right situation. I believe that. Even if he doesn't want a wide open dunk in game 7. In the right situation. But him pulling that AI stuff ain't going to work for him. AI could get away with that. When we come back, if you want to react to it, go right ahead. I'm sure something else will break between now and then. Next thing up, though, a conversation with Purdue wide receiver David Bell. That would be next, and then we are wide open the rest of the way. Before I get there, though, I do owe you a sports update. Here it is. That's what it is.
from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Interrupt all this Ben Simmons news for an interview. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm in Southern California. We are live. Nice to have you here. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, you know where to find me. The phone lines are open, believe it or not. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk some Purdue football. We're joined right now by the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week, a wide receiver for Purdue. 11 receptions, 240 yards, a TD in Saturday's enormous win over second-ranked Iowa. Top 10 in school history in receptions and receiving yardage. First team All-Big Ten and an academic All-Big Tenner last year. Purdue is 4-2. They are number 25 in the AP poll, and they're at home against Wisconsin on Saturday. David Bell is my guest. David, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Listen, I know you're thinking about Wisconsin, but before we get there, you're coming off that career game and that huge win over second-ranked Iowa. The program is down the top 25 for the first time in 14 years. Overall, how would you describe the mood around the team right now and on campus?
So I have to go on campus first. It's very energetic. You know, those fans are very proud of us. They were proud of us. When we came back from the flight from Iowa, the fans were actually waiting for us. We got off the plane, so just to see that type of love being shown from the fans really means not only a lot to me, but to the team also. And just for the team, you know, I think we live by the 48-hour rule. We celebrated, of course, on Saturday, and then Sunday we got into it. But Monday and today, we knew that we would have to come back to work to get ready for Wisconsin.
We're talking to David Bell. Makes sense. All right, so if we were to go back, though, to that game in Iowa City, from the outside, it felt like you guys went into that game against Iowa expecting to beat them. Maybe you shocked some people outside the program, but how much confidence did you guys have going into that game?
We had the most confidence going into that game. We knew what type of defense that they were going to be in a lot of percentage of times, and you know, for the defensive side, for our defense, we knew that we'll be able to get turnovers and create havoc on the quarterback, and we just went out there and did that. So it wasn't a doubt in our mind that we'll come out Saturday and win against Iowa.
We're talking to David Bell. Now, you yourself have had some big, big games against them. In fact, you averaged nearly 160 yards per game against them over the past two games, and you put up 240 on Saturday. What is it about Iowa or facing Iowa that brings out the best in you?
I don't really think it has anything to do with that university specifically. I just think that just those past two games that we played them, you know, coming from last year was the first game of the season after our season was getting canceled, so I was kind of more locked in that first game. And then the opportunity that we had last week playing number two team in the country, I think if you aren't locked in for that, then I don't think you should be playing football. And I just accepted the challenge, you know, knowing that they had some of the best DBs, not only in the Big Ten but in the nation. I knew that I would have to have a big-time game to lead us to the victory.
David Bell is joining us. All right, so then you've got Aiden O'Connell. He threw for 375 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Right now, how would you describe the chemistry the two of you have on the field?
The chemistry is amazing that we have on the field. This goes always back to my freshman year when I was here. I used to stay after in the summer and go over plays with Aiden. Last year, we had a tremendous connection. And even now, you know, even though he wasn't the starter, in the beginning of the season, we still had a connection. He would stay after and throw to me after almost every practice. And, you know, when he became a starter, we began to watch more film together. And that's what I think led us to have an even better connection on this previous Saturday.
We're talking to David Bell. And then you've got O'Connell, right? He's one of the three quarterbacks who was used on Saturday, which was something that Jeff Brohm worked up for the game. What did you make of that approach, and what's it been like playing for Jeff Brohm?
So my thoughts on the approach, I think it was amazing. You know, we knew that it would be a team effort, and we knew that we would have to have everyone so we can be victorious on that day. So it was a great play calling from Coach Brohm with using Aiden, Plummer, and then Burton, too, just to keep Iowa on their feet and make sure that they couldn't just key in on one guy. And playing for Coach Brohm is amazing. You know, he's a phenomenal play caller. He's always puts us in the right situations to be successful.
All right, so I'm curious, like after the game, you tweeted, quote, "What we did today is why I came to Purdue. We were always capable of greatness. I love this team and family. We played hard, but we could not have gotten it done without the love of the fans. This one was for y'all. Thank you, Boiler Nation." I'm curious, what made you want to go to Purdue in the first place, and then how did it feel to feel all of that on Saturday?
So the main reason why chose to come to Purdue would have to be my grandmother. You know, many know that she's handicapped, and I knew that this would be the best way for her to be able to travel to the game. It's just an hour and 15 minutes away from my hometown. And another reason was I just wanted to change the narrative about Purdue University. It was very negative things before I committed here, but with the big win that they had against Ohio State the year before, that team began to start to change, and I knew that if I would come here that I can have an immediate impact and change it myself also.
I love that. I love everything about that. So let me ask you this. Like, you had that 48-hour rule, and you're on to the next thing, but when you're in a game like that, or even 40 hours after that, we're talking about a game. Like, you went on the road, and you blew out the second-ranked team in the country. It's a legendary game with legendary performances. That's the kind of game that people will talk about for years to come. I mean, do you realize that at this point, or do you just not allow yourself to think about that because you're on to Wisconsin?
Of course, I've thought about it, but I try not to think about it too much because we haven't beat Wisconsin since 2000-something. So I'm just trying to break that streak by this upcoming Saturday. So I know that all my focus and all the team's focus is going to have to be on this upcoming game. So we're not trying to think too much about the past. You know, in 10 years, we'll have hopefully a 10-year reunion, and we'll be able to celebrate even more then.
Talking to David Bell. So Drew Brees posted a pic of you on Instagram with the caption, "Purdue baby, David Bell, the most underrated player in college football." What did it feel like to see that? And do you feel like you're still underrated?
It feels great that Drew gave me a shout out like that. You know, he's obviously a Purdue great. And when you think of Purdue football, you think of Drew Brees, all the stuff that he's accomplished here at Purdue and also in the NFL with his time with the Saints. But you know, I think I still personally think I still am a little underrated, so I still have to work hard each and every day to prove myself, to prove that I'm one of the top receivers in the country.
Hey, David, I'm curious. Like, your wide receivers coach said, quote, "You're the most competitive young man that has ever stepped foot on the field for me," end quote. This guy's had a lot of players now. Where does that fire and that competitive spirit come from? Like, I always ask this of extremely motivated, competitive people. Are you wired for it? Were you always just like that? Or did you create that, manufacture that, conjure that up?
I think I have to say just the way that I grew up, you know, seeing what my mother had to do and what my grandparents had to do just so they were able to provide for us. And I think that that's kind of easy for me just seeing what they had to do that I can just translate it over to the field.
I think that a lot of people listening know this story, but some don't. Why do you wear the number 3? Who do you honor with that number?
So the reason I wear number 3 is for my friend that passed away a few years back named Dejon Anderson due to gun violence.
So what was he like as a teammate and a friend? Like, what was Dejon like?
Dejon was a phenomenal teammate and even a better person and a friend. You know, anytime you needed him, he'd call away about anything. He didn't ask for anything in return. He was just, you know, an upfront guy. He always kept it straight with you also. And then on the field, he was just relentless. Anytime he needed a big play, we counted on him. He played multiple positions for us, played safety, DB, return kicks, and even occasionally we asked him to come play offense for us and catch some passes.
It's a great, great way for you to honor him. So before I let you go, you mentioned what it was like to grow up. You're from the far east side of Indianapolis. I know it means a lot to you to represent where you're from. What was life like for you growing up? What was it like to be there?
It was actually fun. You know, of course, it had its ups and downs, but just growing up and being able to be around my family is definitely very family-oriented over on that side of town. So I just felt the love when I was growing up, and I'm just trying to get the love back with all the success that I have. I just don't want people to think that I forgot where I came from.
Right. And let's not forget, also, you played 4 years of basketball. What kind of a basketball player were you?
I was a pretty good basketball player, so I started varsity my freshman year and played all 4 years, ended up winning the state championship my junior year, going 32-0 and finishing the number 2 team in the country, I think, behind Modern Day High School. So basketball was actually my first love. I started playing basketball since I was 3, but you know, I made a kind of a business decision when I entered into my freshman year in high school that would focus on football more than basketball.
Modern Day is right down the street from where we are right here. So I'm really curious about that. Like you just said, 32-0 state championship. You made it. You played varsity as a freshman, but you made that business decision. Like, did you like football better or were you better at football? Like, what went into that business decision?
So from about first to eighth grade, I think I liked basketball better. but I was better in football. But I realized, and I started to fall in love with it more the more I began to be around some of the players that Warren and some of the coaches that Warren, and just seeing like the tradition that Warren had, and seeing that all the greats that they had passed through, and that's what made me fall in love with the game even more.
All right, so this has been a really good conversation. Leave me with a thought. You're getting ready for Wisconsin. What are your early thoughts on that matchup?
It's definitely going to be a tough matchup. You know, they have a phenomenal offense and also a phenomenal defense. I think they only give up 14 points a game, so we're going to have to come out swinging, definitely take care of the ball, and just no turnovers. I think that's going to be the key game. Whichever team has a decent amount of turnovers, you're going to win the game ultimately.
That is your Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week right there, coming off an enormous game in that win over number 2 Iowa, wide receiver with Purdue, David Bell. David, really impressed with you, man. Thank you very, very much. Great to have you on the show. Good luck.
Thank you, and I appreciate you for having me.
Appreciate you for doing it. I'm telling you, man, 3 really impressive young guys today on the program. I like it. Jordan Fuller of the Rams. We had KJ Osborne of the Vikings. David Bell. I'm telling you, these guys get younger and younger and more dialed in at a younger age. There's just no way I could have handled myself or had the thought process or the mindset or the perspective that these young guys have now at that age. I kind of remember what I was like at that age. Nothing like that. Really impressed. And then you got Ben Simmons. And he's not having a very good day. When we come back, the third hour is wide open. So what do you say you step up? Ask yourself, hey, Rome, can you give me more? I mean, I can, I will, I do. But what can you do for me? What can you do for the show? Can you make it better? When we come back, the Dodgers playing this afternoon. So I do want to get into that. Game 3. And I'm going to call it a must win. Dodger fan, you can tell yourself as much as you want, hey, what's really going on here? It's not a series until somebody wins on the road. All they did was hold serve. Yeah, not quite like that. We'll get into it. The Red Sox suddenly are explosive. I want to talk about them too. Stay tuned.